Greetings, this is H.G. Wells, log set S2, log 20. I am currently preparing to depart to collect the authors invited to our evening soiree. All we are missing now is my darling Jane, who should be arriving home any moment now. Hello, dear. You're just in time. I was starting on my log.
Herbert George Wells.
Oh, Jane, I promise I can explain everything. As long as you tell me exactly what it is I've done.
Well, it's funny you should ask, Herbert.
Oh, God.
I wonder if you can guess where I was this morning.
Well, you were in London, weren't you? At a Fabian Society meeting?
Yes, Herbert, I was.
Did you have fun, dear?
Well, I suppose it depends on how you would define fun.
Involving jolly japes and frivolities?
Trust me when I say that there were no frivolities involved. And if there was a jape, I failed to notice it.
Oh dear.
As it happens, I was sitting next to Rosamond L. Owen during the meeting.
Charming woman.
Yes, quite.
Very nice, teeth.
Very nice.
Lovely way with words.
Herbert.
Sorry.
Well, I mentioned how curious it was that Edith Nesbit was missing from the meeting. You know, the lovely lady who wrote the adorable little book about the children by the railway.
Oh yes, the railway children. Such a delightful book. I really love when...
So it was odd to me that she was absent, considering that she attends those meetings like clockwork. Anyway, I mentioned it to Rosamond, and do you know what she said?
She caught a terrible case of the mumps.
She said, it's no wonder Edith's missing, given that her adopted daughter tried to run off with your husband the week before.
Really?
I wonder if you can imagine my shock, Herbert. Naturally, I was dumbstruck by the mere suggestion. Of course, I said that she must be mistaken. There are any number of Mr. Wells living in London. Perhaps she had gotten the wrong one.
Yes, yes, she must have. A very common name. Could have been Frank, even. We do look alike from certain angles.
No, she said she was quite sure because she'd gotten the story from Rosamond Bland herself.
Aha!
I realised that at this point there may be some truth to her claim, so I asked her to elaborate on the circumstances. I'm sure that you can imagine exactly how appalled I was to discover that my husband had been doing the bear with Miss Rosamond Bland since 1906, and that he'd never bothered to tell me at all.
Jane, I can explain.
Herbert George Wells, you will do no such thing. You will sit quietly and let me finish. Do you understand?
Yes, dear.
Good. Well, it turns out, according to Rosamond L. Owen, that this affair had recently come to a head, and that Mr. Wells had finally agreed to run off with young Miss Bland. I'm sure you had your reasons. I would have preferred that you disclosed them to me beforehand, but that is neither here nor there. What is both here and there, however, is the fact that last week, you and Rosamond Bland entered Paddington Station with tickets from London to Paris in your pocket, fully intending to run off to France. Tell me, Herbert, what exactly do you think I was doing at that precise moment in time?
Well, I presume you were at home, dear.
You're exactly right. I was at home. I was looking after our children, washing our laundry, and cooking our dinner. I was expecting you home, and meanwhile, you were preparing to jaunt off to Paris without a care in the world, without telling me, even though we've promised time and time again to be open about any external relationships we may undertake. I'm sure you remember what happened next, don't you?
Well, it's hard to forget. The brute came at me out of nowhere.
Frankly, Herbert, I think the man was entirely justified.
I'm not sure Hubert Bland giving me a black eye was completely justified.
Rosamond is his daughter, and I feel that giving you a black eye is a rather unfair assessment. Brawling in the streets like stray dogs would be more accurate. Let me make one thing plain, Herbert. If it had only been a little affair, I might have even been a little annoyed. Perhaps I might have raised my voice. But that would have been the end of it. You know I don't object to your little liaisons, free love and all that. If I had my own urges, I know you wouldn't hesitate to encourage me to engage with him. Your dalliance with Rosamond Bland isn't the problem. The problem is the fact that not only did you not tell me about it, you lied about it. And the whole of London apparently knew before I did.
Jane, my dear, I'm most dreadfully sorry. If you'd listen and...
No, you listen. You told me you'd got a black eye walking into a lamppost, and I believed you. You lied to me, Herbert. I trusted you to be honest with me about these things, and you lied to me. Communication and honesty have always been the most important things in our relationship.
It was a silly mistake. I should have talked to you first.
Silly? Silly? This was a purposeful move and cover-up.
Yes, I know. I should have...
There's no point dealing with should-haves and could-haves. What's done is done. You're the one with the time machine. You figure it out. Not that you can, after all. It would break your own rules of time travel, wouldn't it? I'm going to bed.
But, Jane, what about the house party?
Forget the damn house party. Do it yourself if you must.
Oh, bugger. Well, there you go, HG. You finally did it. You ruined the best thing you had. Took you long enough. Why did I think it was a good idea? Why did I ever think Jane wouldn't find out? She's the bloody smartest woman I've ever known. And yet I tried to pull one over on her. I'm not the victim here, I know that. I broke our promise to be open about these things, but everyone has secrets, right? Do I get no sympathy? I should apologize. Maybe if I explain the circumstances, perhaps if Jane would let me tell her the full details of Rosamond's home life, perhaps she might... But she won't listen. She'll just take it as me trying to excuse what I've done. Oh, forget it. I need a distraction until I can think clearly. Who on earth can I talk to? Jane's the best conversationalist I know. She's clever and quick-witted, and I'll be lucky if she talks to me again. Freddy would make for a good head-to-head, but he's in Africa. And good God, I'd rather Mr. Bland give me another black eye than have to go to Doyle for any kind of solace. Wait, Frank! He'll be here for the party in an hour. The non-existent party. Maybe if I come up with a plan to apologize and explain things properly, get Frank to look over it beforehand and follow it to the letter, maybe Jane will be able to for... I say, what on earth was that? My tea! Today just gets better and better, pesky draft. Should really get that door fixed. Oh, dash it all!
Jane? Is that you? Gib? Frankie? Father's not in the mood for practical jokes right now.
An intruder? Show yourself! I'm armed with a teapot. A bloody lot of good that will do.
Well, well, wells.
Doyle?
HG, you gave me quite a shock. Look, I know we don't agree on tea-making opinions, but that was a bit extreme, don't you think?
I gave you a shock? You're the one sneaking around like the Invisible Man. How did you even get in here? You almost gave me a heart attack.
Well, the side door was open, so I let myself in. I know I'm always well welcome at the Wells. A nice surprise, what?
Unexpected visitors are never a nice surprise.
Good Lord, you're as white as a sheet. I didn't scare you that much, did I?
Well, it's only that I thought you were
A ghost?
No, an intruder, which technically you are.
Goodness, HG, don't be so silly.
I'm pretty sure I'd welcome a ghost into my home over you any day.
So you admit that you would like to meet a ghost?
What? No, I don't believe in ghosts. There's no such thing as ghosts.
Oh, don't worry, HG. I know exactly what you mean. Anyway, real ghosts don't look anything like this.
Really?
Really. In fact, some come in the form of spirit orbs.
Of course. Why ever did I think that you'd have anything sensible to say?
Now, if I was a real ghost, I would have glowing eyes, perhaps a radiant halo of light enveloping my body, perhaps a spooky, echoing laugh. Ah, rather like that.
Wait, you heard that too? No. This all has a perfectly sensible explanation. It must have been a child playing on the street.
But it's evening. No children are out playing at this time of the day.
And my papers were just caught in a gust of wind.
Indoors?
We have a draft. Plus, the window's open.
Actually, it's closed.
I think you'll find that it is open. It's just as you say in those detective stories of yours, Doyle. There is always a completely reasonable, very normal explanation for everything.
And clearly, the explanation for this is that you have a ghost.
We do not have a ghost. It's logistically impossible.
But what other explanation is there? After all, once you have eliminated the impossible, what remains, however improbable...
For the last time, this house is not haunted!
Mm-hmm.
Don't give me that look. It's not.
Very well, old boy, very well. Now, are you going to tell me what's got you in such a state? Eh? You're looking positively wilting. I haven't seen anyone look even half as miserable since the last time J.M. Barry and I lost a cricket match. It started raining after the match was called, you see, and his moustache drooped so much I thought it was going to fall off.
I am absolutely fine. I'm in the highest of spirits. There is not a single thing wrong with me. Not a thing.
Did you have a fight with Jane?
I had a fight with Jane.
I couldn't help but think the house was dashed quiet when I came in.
We were supposed to be hosting the dinner party, you know, with all the other authors, you know, but after all this, I don't...
Well, I'd know just what to cheer you up. Perhaps you'll join me in a little wager, eh?
And what would the aforesaid wager be exactly?
Do you recall, old Bean?
Don't call me old Bean.
Sorry, dear chap. But do you recall that recently you claimed that if I ever solved the impossible, then you would eat your hat?
Yes, I do, and I maintain that it would be about as unlikely as I happen to find fairies at the bottom of my garden.
Well, the fae are fickle creatures, you see.
No, I refuse to start talking about fairies with you again.
But they're so interesting.
Just get to the point. Please.
Jolly good, jolly good. Well, what if we were to place a wager on my ability to do just that?
What do you mean?
I will use all of the detective skills at my disposal to solve the impossible. The mystery of your haunted house.
It's not haunted.
And if I win, you have to cook your hat and eat it.
And what if I win?
If I find no such supernatural explanation, I will declare that ghosts don't exist.
Really? Ha! Done! You're going to regret this one, Doyle. There is not a single chance you're going to be able to solve whatever's going on in this house. I hope you're ready to admit you're wrong.
And I hope you're ready to fill your mouth with the taste of a roasted hat.
May the best man win.
I intend to. Look out, ghosty, for I, Dr. Arthur Conan Doyle, intend to hunt you down. Detective Doyle is on the case. The game is afoot.
You know, I may regret the Paddington Station incident. I certainly regret upsetting Jane tonight. But by Jove, I don't think I'm going to regret making this bet.
This podcast was brought to you by Turpentine Productions. You can find us on Tumblr at Turpentine Productions, Twitter at H.G. Wells Regrets, and Facebook at H.G. Wells Has His Regrets. Or check out our website, www.hgwellshashisregrets.wordpress.com. This episode of H.G. Wells Has His Regrets was written by Francesca Mylord Ford and Emily Hancock, and produced by Francesca Mylord Ford. Music composed by Emily Hancock and Joash Curry, and sound design by John Black. This show was created and executive produced by Emily Hancock. H.G. Wells was voiced by James Carpenter. Catherine Jane Wells was voiced by Georgia Fisk. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was voiced by Nathan Donnelly. This podcast is fictitious, and all characters within are merely fictional interpretations of the people they're based on, and are not to be taken as serious or accurate portrayals. We'll end the episode with a quote from Mary Wollstonecraft's A Vindication of the Rights of Women. I do not wish women to have power over men, but over themselves. Thanks for listening.